run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Tyus, how did you do that? Down the stretch, this big a stage, how did you handle it like that?
My teammates and the coaching staff, they've given me confidence, and they believed in me and trusted in me all year. And there's never been a moment where, you know, they doubt me. And it was just, they trusted me, you know, to make a play. And that's the biggest thing, you know, about this team is we never want to let, you know, one another down.
Well, that was Tyus Jones. Ordinarily, superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson will be talking to you. They will be momentarily. They have, what would you call it, a slight technical difficulty?
Something like that.
You know, it's a technical matter. That's what does it. Well, you and I were, we should get one of these guys on the phone, or both of them. We'll do it that way. But we were talking in our last break, talking to John Tower from St. Thomas's. Bob Sansevier, by the way. I'm here with David Helmer, Hellboy. We usually do the 2-4 thing. Well, not usually. We do the 2-4 thing.
But we're back now.
We're taking over. We're taking over rush hour.
Yeah.
We were talking about how far Jahlil Okafor could slide. Karl-Anthony Towns now seems to have supplanted him as the guy that everyone wants with the first overall pick. And maybe D'Angelo Russell could jump ahead of him. John Tower is suggesting Okafor might not even go second now. I think teams are making a mistake. I know he didn't have a great Final Four, but come on. I mean, there's talent there. Again, I go back to me, it's the Teddy Bridgewater syndrome. He had a bad pro day, and look what happened to Teddy.
Yeah, he slipped and
slipped.
Went to a better team.
Yeah, slipped. Well, they slipped right down to the final pick of the draft, and the Vikings moved up to get that pick. And as it turned out, it doesn't look like that bad pro day hurt him as a professional, because he did pretty damn good, I think, for his rookie season. It'll be even better this year. With or without, with Adrian Peterson, his life gets a lot easier. But if Adrian Peterson is not with the Vikings, and I'm still not convinced he will be, I still think that there'll be maybe even a draft day trade to the Cowboys, that he's going to wind up in Dallas. I think right now both teams are posturing, and neither one wanted, the Vikings want a lot more than the Cowboys are willing to give. Cowboys are trying to, they've already fleeced the Vikings once in their tenure.
Yeah.
You know, since Jerry Jones took over they actually owe the Vikings when they, for them, they've gotten the things they got. It's absolutely astounding for Herschel Walker, but that, there's not going to be another deal like that.
And the Vikings have been kind of covering their bases a little bit. They were at David Cobb's pro day that was just held on Monday. They had David Johnson, the running back from Northern Iowa, in town to get a look at him. So they are looking at guys in the draft, even though if AP was here, then we still have Jerick McKinnon. We just signed Matt Asiata to another 1-year contract. We technically our seventh position, especially with Joe Banyard there too, but it seems like we are preparing just in case AP's not going to be around. We're still looking at guys to bring in.
Well, you have to, and also I don't, for some reason they're not sold on Banyard. You know, they haven't really given him many opportunities. I do think McKinnon can be pretty good, and I think David Cobb is going to be a very good pro, because I think where he's going to, the good thing for him is this could work out good for him in that he was he was hurt, had the hamstring injury, didn't really, had a lousy time in the 44.8-something when he tried running at the combine. He still hadn't healed, and he had his pro day the other day. He's not going to be as high a pick as he might have been, but that could work to his advantage because he could go to a decent team.
Yeah, and that 4.58 40 that he ran?
Yeah.
Not worried about it, because he's a bigger guy than some of the guys that went a lot quicker than him.
And
he's, well, not even a lot quicker. 4.41 was the best time by Jeremy Langford from Michigan State. And he comes in and weighing 227, 230. That's David Cobb. He's more of a bruiser back anyway. So a 4.58 is still relatively impressive for a guy like that. And he was trying to prove that since he was in a run-first offense with Minnesota, he wanted to show off his hands. And I think he did a good job of doing that the other day, because he can catch the ball out of the backfield.
And I do think that the 4.58 in time, I'm not sure. When you have a hamstring injury, it could linger. I don't know that he's at 100%. He's going to, he will. Here's the two things about him. You know he can play if you watch him in footage. He also, if you meet this kid, this young man, he's not a kid, he's got great character. I mean, he's just a nice guy who's never going to be a problem for you. All these concerns they have with Jameis Winston, you know, with the ownership of the team being worried about it. Maybe now Marcus Mariota will be the first overall pick. Everything's mixing around. That's the one thing about the NFL draft. It's always gets jumbled where people get on one guy, then they jump off, they get on another guy. Well, look, Teddy Bridgewater was supposed to be the number one overall pick during going into last season, last college football season, and during the season, and suddenly he lost favor because of a bad, dopey pro day.
Yeah, bad pro day, bad seasons can have you jump back. Jake Locker was going to be a top overall pick. Then he went back to school, had a bad year, and then he retires after his rookie contract is done. You look at an offensive tackle like Cedric Agbuyi. He was supposed to be a top 10 pick, blew out his knee in the bowl game, and now he's trying to work his way back up. And some people are saying he may jump back into the first round, which is pretty impressive. He blew out his ACL on, like, January 1st.
Well, and look at Matt Khalil. I mean, he'll be out of football in a year if he keeps it up. It's another, he doesn't play better than he did last year. And the year, 2 years ago is when, I mean, his rookie year is when he was really good.
Yeah, and that was the Adrian Peterson, I'm going to rush for 2,000-yard season.
He did rush for 2,000 yards. The next year is when he's going to rush for 2,500. Didn't quite work out that way. Although I said it, and I've said it before, and I think others would not disagree. There are people who agree with it. If he winds up in Dallas, 2,500 is possible for this guy.
Why not?
With that offensive line, it would be incredible. And by the way, if you're wondering, there is that big deal with the 5 o'clock, or excuse me, the April 15th deal. You know, April 15th was the, that's when the Adrian Peterson was supposed to be reinstated. No word yet from the NFL on that. And it's not likely to come out today. And the league's in the, what's the hurry? I mean, nothing really has to be done right now. There's no mini camps coming up or OTAs or anything like that. So it doesn't matter as long as they get done in the next few weeks. By the way, 651-989-9105 is the number. 651-989-9105. David Helmer and I are sitting in momentarily for superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. They are at Hubert's. We've had some... Is there a better way to do it than technical difficulties? You know what?
You could probably say, I bet you they're just hammered and they broke all of our equipment.
No. What they want to do is they want to be fashionably late.
Is that what it's...
No. Actually,
that's
our equipment...
What they're going for?
Our equipment is behaving and performing the way the Timberwolves have performed much of the year.
As our laughable.
Guy. He'll be there, won't he? Tom Schreier will be there, right?
He's actually going to be joining their show today around 5:55 for their Cold Omaha segment.
Well, then he better get over here because he may not be doing it. No, they'll be doing it from there. I'm sure it'll be momentarily. See, this is weird, too, for me because normally we turn it over to them. I have no idea when they even go to break. What time do they go to break?
Soon.
How soon? Soon-ish?
We got a few minutes still, at least. Should we see if they're there and see what happens?
Hey, fellas. Hi, superstar. Hey, Ben. What's going on, guys? I can hear me. I can't hear them. Why don't you pick up the phone and give us a call?
Why are we doing your job for you right now?
Hey, brother.
Did somebody say something?
Oh, we lost him.
I heard, hey, brother.
No way!
Or was that, hey, mother? I couldn't tell.
I don't know what it was.
Almost made it.
I think we almost made it.
We almost made it? All right, well, we'll make it, and they'll make it. Because they've got a really big shoe for you with... The Timberwolves. Timberwolves
have
got
the game of the year.
And the Timberwolves, they will do their duty, which is to lose, because they want to improve their chances of getting the first overall pick. There's a certain amount of pride for them. They've never had it.
And the Thunder are coming in really wanting to win because they need to win to get into the playoffs.
They also need
the Pelicans to lose.
Come on. You think there's even a chance? They could put two guys on the floor and they're going to win.
Well, if this is the situation where we're playing a team that's trying to get in the playoffs and we are the team that is
trying not to win,
what kind of lopsided victory are the Thunder going to have?
It's not going to be a problem. Remember, we talked about this, was it last week? Was it Mark Madsen when he was launching threes?
Yeah, which was just incredible.
I was at that game. It was unbelievable. You know, he was just throwing them up and it was just clanking because that's what his role was, clank them.
I don't know. Don't make them. Anybody with a nickname Mad Dog, probably... Not really a perimeter player, you could guess, by the nickname alone. So what's he doing, jacking up 25-footers? He's having fun.
He was told to. You know what? And I think Glenn Taylor was getting upset when he was making them. You know, he made a few of them or when they were coming close. What's he doing?
Bench him.
Can't be doing that. No, it's got to be it'll be a blowout, and they will. But you know what? Okay, let me ask you this, and we should talk to Kelly in Vegas or somebody who sets the odds. They will have the worst record in basketball.
Yeah.
25% chance of getting the first overall pick. The second place team is just under 20. I think it's 19-9.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the chances are of them actually getting that first overall pick? Not the, you know, 25%, blah, blah, but they never have had it.
You would say the odds are good for everybody else other than us.
Yes. And what will happen is one of the teams in the lottery will be the ones that wind up getting it. One of the bad teams. You know, the teams that are bad but not as bad as them. Maybe the team with the – and it's happened before with the worst shot. Now, who's ringing our little thing here?
We got Brian in Minneapolis going to jump in with us.
Brian, how the heck are you?
Hey, good. I was just commenting on Tyus for coming out, you know, a good or bad thing. I kind of think it's good for him, actually, because we get a chance to go to a better team that's probably – in the playoff range anyway, and he can possibly, you know, take the time to develop as opposed to Wiggins, who just got thrown to the Wolves. Right? Well, hate that expression. Sorry about that. But yeah, just got thrown right in there.
Well, and Brian, you know what? That's a good point, because I was looking at one of the projections, and one of them had him going, was it to Houston at 16? That's not a bad place to wind up. And go to Kevin McHale.
And that would be awesome for him. I think that's actually probably better for him than getting, you know, wasted playing for one of the worst teams, you know, doing 40-some minutes a night right away.
That's actually a very good point. The one that's intriguing to me, though, L.A. could have, I think, right now, if you did it by record, they'd be, what, fourth? I think they'd be fourth. But they
fourth
have a,
or fifth.
They've got a later pick, like in a 20th or so. What if they... What if we talked to John Tower, the St. Thomas coach, Brian, and he had said Okafor could actually slide. What if Okafor slid and the Lakers wound up with him, and then they come back to wind up with Tyus Jones? I'd say they're back.
I think that would be awesome for the Lakers.
Yeah, well, I'd say they're back. At least interest would be sky high for them.
Exactly. I think they need the Lakers to be healthy. The NBA does overall, to be honest with you.
You're right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're absolutely right about that. But I would think that would be, I'm sure, I mean, Tyus and Okafor, these are two guys who decided they wanted to go to the same college together. They wanted to, you know, they wanted to get a national championship, which they did. And now they're moving on to an NBA career. But this is something that would be beyond their dreams, because they can't, neither one would imagine to be together. It's, you know, the likelihood isn't real high or sky high, but it exists. That'd be something, wouldn't it? If they wound up
awesome.
On the same team in L.A., we'd have to have our L.A. correspondent, Jack Jablonski, switch from hockey to basketball.
It would also make sense in the sense that Duke is one of the most despised teams, at least for me.
And then
personally.
The Lakers are despised.
And then the Lakers, I'm not a big fan of them either, so of course they're going to go from Duke to the Lakers.
Well, I've hated them since I left Minneapolis. There's no two ways about it. Now, Brian, we appreciate you giving a call.
Thanks, bud.
All right, take it easy. And how are we doing here?
Got a couple.
Couple more minutes? Boy, these guys go long.
Yeah. I mean, I know we're really tired because we're used to 2 hours and then just...
Yeah, well, let me ask you this question. What are you going to do? You going solo? Because I got to get over to Old Chicago.
Yeah, why not?
After this, you're going to go solo.
I've got the next 2 hours, 45 minutes. No problem.
You could do it. You could riff. You know what you do? Pick out, like, is that bongo song you play for Marsh Hallberg? How long is that?
I think the whole thing might be about 6 minutes long, so maybe I could just go with that.
I'd go with that like
constantly.
30 times. All right, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, well, I don't think you'll hear me, but you'll hear superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson live from Hubert's. I'm on my way to Old Chicago. Come see me there. I'll be there from 5 to 7. We'll have some fun.
On Deck Radio with Pete Wagner and former Twins Gene Larkin and Al Newman.
Paul Molitor definitely is a motivator in his own way. I think Molly will be able to handle that and address it.
He played the game the right way. As great a player as he was, he's a grinder. He's a guy that grinded it day in and day out.
Yes, he did.
He looked so intelligent about the game. He kind of gets how tough the game is.
Tune in On Deck Radio, Saturday mornings at 11. Wall-to-wall baseball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
I don't know if I've been in a game in all basketball where there was the energy and the enthusiasm that was in that building tonight, you know, and it's just because of one guy. But he becomes infectious. I mean, all of a sudden, we got guys that, you know, they're playing more physical, and that's what he brings to that. That's why his, you know, that's one of the reasons. Yeah. And we thought it was important to go and get him. With the youth that we have and what we're trying to accomplish to facilitate our improvement, there's no one better that could come in and help us with that.
That's Flip Saunders. Yeah, there's a lot of energy in that building. A lot of energy tonight, too, when they go at it and try to make sure they lose to lock down that worst record. We are joined by Jerry Zagoda from the Star Tribune. Jerry, my heart goes out to you. I feel for you. You've covered this team for many years, including this abysmal season.
Well, thanks for the good thoughts. When was that night with all the energy in the building? I don't remember.
It had to be the KG night, right?
It was after KG's first game.
Yeah, what else is...
When was that?
Yeah, how many did wind up playing, Jerry? Four games?
He played five, I think.
Five, okay. You know what? I want to start off by that before we get to the abysmal season. Why would they even consider paying him to come back and play? If he wants to be an owner, get up in the front office. Why would Glenn Taylor want to give him more millions?
Well, I mean, they paid him a little bit more than they would have been paying Thad Young, but the trade was not that much difference when you prorate it. You know, it was maybe a million more or whatever, two million more. I think Thad was making close to 10 and Garnett was making 12. So that was almost a wash in terms of money. I mean, I don't think they expected him to play five games. I don't know exactly what they expected him from. And, you know, they know he's old and he wasn't playing every game in Brooklyn when they got him.
Yep.
But Flip got him, you know, believing that he's going to be an influence on this team. And they got him with the belief that, you know, it's going to be beyond this year, that he's going to sign for next year. And if he's only playing 10, 12 minutes a game, if he's healthy enough to do that, that is, you know, impact. And I think in part of it, too, is they traded for him just to get him here and kind of, you know, grease the wheels for a management role and ownership at some point.
Well, again, I get started on that and about next year. But let me ask you about next year. If they get the first overall pick, is it a slam dunk? It's Towns now and not Okafor, or is there still some question of what they do with it?
I don't think at all. I think, I mean, my hunch is if it was today, I think they take Okafor. I think they would, but you know, a lot, I might be wrong and a lot could change. But just the way Flip over the months, yeah. The one thing he said all through the tournament is he goes, "Don't put too much emphasis on the tournament." And all season long, you know, I could tell about him that he loved Okafor. That, you know, he sees him as a guy that you can't guard in this league because you throw the ball to him and you're going to have to send two or three guys at him because he's that good of fundamentals, that good of footwork. He's 19 years old. I know there's all the talk about you need, you know, a better defensive presence, and he's not that. And I don't know if the fact is he can't play defense or he was just lazy and didn't do it in college. You know, if you project that his body's going to change and he's going to grow up, and maybe you can instill that in him. But I think everyone who's assuming that Towns is overtaking him, I'm not sure that's correct.
Well, Jerry, you know what? It's actually refreshing to hear that Flip, unlike a lot of other coaches and scouts, are not letting the Final Four and the few games in the tournaments have them jump off. And I just talked about in the last segment and other times, it's in a sense, it's what happened to Teddy Bridgewater. Bad pro day, people abandoned him. And he winds up going last overall in the first round to the Vikings. I wouldn't give up on the guy because he did. He had a hell of a season.
Flip keeps the phrase he keeps using is body of work, and which means going back to when they watched these guys when they were playing high school all-star games, when they watched them playing in the Nike Hoop Summit, you know, a year ago in Portland or 2 years ago, whenever Okafor played in it, you know, that it's this whole accumulation of stuff and that you get into trouble if Derek Williams has a huge 36-point game in the NCAA tournament or Johnny Flynn goes crazy in a double overtime Big East tournament game and you draft him because of that. You make mistakes when you do that.
Well, and David Kahn certainly did. Now, the other thing about that, Jerry, is he may want to start talking up Town in case he finishes with the second pick. He doesn't want the other team. You know, he doesn't want the – he wants the other – whoever has the first overall pick to think, well, wait a minute, if he wants Town, I better grab him. And then he's – Okafor is sitting there for him.
Do you think GMs actually do that? You know, I know they play that game, but do they think, oh, because this guy is – do their egos really allow them to admit the other guy might know more than they do?
I do. I think a lot of them are incredibly insecure about what they do in their jobs. That's why it's refreshing to hear Flip say that. And I want to see if his tune changes in the weeks ahead when we do know. Well, we're going to know tonight. You want to talk about a slam dunk. There's no way they win this game. They'll make sure of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, they wouldn't anyways, but given the fact they're going to be playing with probably six guys and Oklahoma City desperately needs to win just to have a chance. So, I mean, they haven't won the last 12. Why would they win now?
Well, Jerry, who's tonight's Mark Madsen?
Although ask the Knicks that. They hadn't won, then they go out and win two straight.
They're on fire. Well, but who will be tonight's Mark Madsen chucking up the three?
I don't think you need to have anyone do that tonight, do you?
No, probably not. Just let them play their regular game and it'll be over.
I mean, that came in overtime. I don't think you're going to need that.
Wasn't, you know, I was talking about this earlier. My recollection, you covered that game too, because I was at that game. Wasn't Glenn Taylor pissy afterward that, you know, he actually made a few shots? He was upset with them?
No, because he didn't make, he only made one. He didn't make any of the threes. He only made one. He only made like one out of 15, I think.
Oh, that, okay. I don't remember. I mean, I thought that I remember Glenn being upset about something and took him taking a little heat about it because they so clearly wanted to, you know, they so clearly wanted to dump that game. Now, how did, Jerry, how do you, you do mock drafts, right? Have you started putting anything together yet? Is it too early for you?
I usually avoid those, but
you know,
the whole interesting thing about the lottery this year is going to be how the picks fall and, you know, who ends up where. Like, you know, where does a team like Philadelphia, if they end up picking above the Wolves, you know, they've spent the last, what, 2-3 years taking Nerlens Noel and Joel Embiid, guys who have been hurt, but big guys, so, you know, If teams finish ahead of the Wolves, even if they don't win the first or second pick, if they're three or even four, you know, are there going to be teams ahead of them who are going to take guards, who are going to take D'Angelo Russell or Moutier, the kid who played over in China, and still leave Towns or an Okafor at three or maybe even four? I mean, the important thing is people said, you know, it doesn't matter if they get the worst record because the worst team almost never gets the first pick. Well, that's not the important thing. The important thing is once you lock into that worst record, you can't pick any worse than fourth, which is important. You know, you're not, there's not a chance you pick fifth. So if a draft has four who you think are really good players, and there may be five or six in this draft at least, you know, then that's what's important.
Well, you would know better than anyone because you've been around this team. How do you, what is your feeling on how they're ranking? If they have Okafor first, is Town second?
Well, I think they probably feel the need for it. I don't know at that point. You know, you got to remember there's a long way to go still. I mean, they still got to have interviews with these guys, and they'll bring them in for workouts and, you know, all kinds of stuff. This is only April, and we're talking, you know, the end of June for the draft, lottery, third week of May. So a lot of stuff can still happen. You can change your mind. You can talk yourself in and out of guys. I think they like, you know, the Russell kid a lot, which, you know, people say they don't need a guard. They got Rubio and, you know, they got this and that. But do they really have a game-changing guard like a Harden or a Westbrook or a Damian Lillard? I don't know if they have that on this team. So, you know, if you add that, is that bad of a thing? Although I'm thinking their preference probably is going to be one of the two big guys.
Well, but you can't go wrong with a guy that can play three positions for you in Russell.
Yeah, and then there's also a kid who's sort of a sleeper. He's a kid out of Latvia, a guy named Porzingis, I'm guessing that's how you pronounce it.
That's what we're going with.
Who they say is, you know, kind of the next coming of Dirk Nowitzki, that skilled. So,
he may be the most polished. That's what who were we talking to before that said that? Was it Suhan we talked to or John Tower too? That he may be the most NBA ready and most polished of all of them coming out.
Suhan said that.
Porzingis.
Yeah.
Or Porzinga, as he called him.
Porzinga.
Sounds like a game. Maybe they can turn him to a board game, make some money off of that. You never know. We're talking to Jerry Zagota from the Star Tribune. Now, Jerry, a night like tonight, do you you can start writing your game story probably, in the couple of minutes into the game?
Well, I haven't written a game story for about 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I mean, I don't even write game
There's
stories
There's no game,
anymore.
You're right.
So, but tonight being the finale, I might actually write one. Yeah, but it'll be just the sort of an encompassing season ender, so who knows what way it'll take us tonight. But you know, for the last 3 weeks, you've been looking for anything else to tell a different story because it's the same old thing night after night. And at this point, who cares about what happened in the game? But tonight's a little different just because it's the last one.
Now, are you and the missus going to get away when the season's over? Because I remember I used to do that a lot before I had, you know, kids and the Vikings were done. I just wanted to get out of here. I mean, you must just be, they could wear you to a nub. Covering these bad teams.
I'm looking forward to haven't allowed myself even really to lift my head up yet because you know how sports editors are. Now they want you to write a playoff preview piece and they want you to do this and that. And I still have expenses to finish up from the season. But once I get through this weekend into next week, then I'll be able to lift my head up a little bit and say, hey, what, you know, I got nine national car rental days to use between now and middle of June, so I better figure out some place to go.
And Jerry, hopefully you're not like months and months back, because they always love when you send in the expenses and then they owe you several grand.
I'm actually, compared to last year, I'm caught up. I only have three trips.
That's not bad.
So that's good. Last year, I literally spent a day expenses just catching up.
Ugh.
Yeah, they suspended you remember the great Dennis Bracken? I think they already suspended his credit card because he hasn't kept up on his reports. So,
Dennis was there when I first worked. I love Dennis. He's a great guy. Maybe not so good on the reports, but hey, Jerry, thanks so much. Jerry Zagoda from the Star Tribune. Enjoy the game tonight. I'm sure it'll be a barn burner.
I'll enjoy that. It's the 82nd and final one.
That's the way to look at it, Jerry. Take it easy. Thank you.
All right. Okay.
Okay. We're having technical difficulties with our connection to Hubert, where superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson are. Our broadcast, which is normally there, is brought to you by North Lake Brewing Killebrew Root Beer. I have to leave, head over to Old Chicago. I'll be there from 5 to 7. But until we get it fixed, the technical difficulties, we have a best-of segment we want to play. We'll come right back with Mike Wallace just after the Vikings acquired him. We'll be right back.
Passionate sports talk.
If you don't get injured and nicked up again, like we always seem to.
Well, look at the Wild. Look at the Timberwolves. Look at the Vikings this last year. We're cursed. Minnesotans and their sports teams were cursed.
I agree. We're a bunch of softies.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
We're having technical difficulties with our connection to Hubert's. Our broadcast, which is normally there, is brought to you by North Lake Brewing and Killebrew Root Beer. Now we're going to listen in to Mike and Ben talking to Mike Wallace right after he was acquired by the Vikings.
Second and goal.
Talk about excitement. Not only are we excited to have the newly acquired wide receiver, the speed merchant, Mike Wallace, but that's what kind of football he brings to the table. With that being said, Mike Wallace, thank you for joining the show.
No problem at all.
You know, you're a Minnesota Viking now. You've joined a team with the likes of Teddy Bridgewater, and maybe for the most part it could still be Adrian Peterson, but and some I think a very good wide receiving core right now. Tell us what your conversations have been with the Vikings and or with Teddy Bridgewater, and how do you feel now that you're a member of the Vikings?
I'm excited, most definitely excited. I talked to Teddy a couple times. We're excited to get to working with each other on the first day of off-season workouts. I haven't had too much contact with any of the receivers yet, but I'll get to know those guys soon enough.
Talking to Mike Wallace, the newest Minnesota Viking, traded just a couple of weeks ago from the Miami Dolphins for a fifth-round draft pick, and we swapped a couple of picks there at the later rounds. What are you most excited about becoming a Minnesota Viking? Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're playing with the Miami Dolphins. They didn't necessarily use your strengths, which is a deep threat. You have such great speed, such beautiful, soft hands, and expect the Minnesota Vikings and Teddy Bridgewater to throw you deep and throw you often.
I hope so, so I can make some big plays for my team. But, I'm out here just to contribute. I'll be fine. We're going to get to work, grind. I'm just excited, man, for a fresh start. I know Coach Turner is a big play type of guy on offense. And, I'm just ready to do my part.
And we're glad to have you here. With Teddy Bridgewater being the quarterback here, are you surprised with how incredibly poised and how mature that kid is as a rookie, based on what you've known before in the past and seeing quarterbacks before in the past? He's got his act together, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. He's a humble guy. A guy who just seems like he's having fun, easy going. I don't know him too well, but from everything I've heard from everybody who's been around him ever, I'm talking about guys who work out in South Florida all the time, some of my former teammates. Guys just tell me, they rave about him all the time, saying how good he is and, how good of a guy, how cool he is. And obviously, I'm going to love him, so I'm excited about it.
Yeah, we're excited to have you, too. The newest Minnesota Viking, Mike Wallace, wide receiver. It was a couple of Fridays ago where the superstar and I were on the radio here, and we started getting reports that you were on the phone with head coach Mike Zimmer and I think general manager Rick Spielman, and then the trade happened shortly thereafter. What were you guys talking about on the phone? And I know the Minnesota Vikings had obviously had interest in you 2 years ago when we ended up signing Greg Jennings. But what was that conversation like before the actual trade went through?
Just telling me they were excited to have me. They wanted me here, wanted to know if I would welcome them and be a part of their organization. And I most definitely was with it. Those guys, they seem like really genuine people, really good people, and family type of environment.
I think they are too, Mike. And I played here for 9 years. I haven't seen any better coaching staff than I have seen with this bunch that just got here last season. I also had a chance to play with Randy Moss for a couple years, for my last couple years with the Vikings. How do you liken yourself at all to Randy Moss? I see a lot of you in Randy Moss in the speed, the hands, the combination of both. Did you follow him when you were coming up through the ranks?
Oh, most definitely, you know, but that's a guy who I would never consider myself in any type of way. You know, that's a guy who's a legend. I'm just working, trying to get one day, hopefully, even close to a quarter of that guy, man. He, like I said before, he's probably the second best wide receiver ever behind Jerry Rice, arguably. So I definitely watched that guy growing up. You know, he was in the league as I was growing up as a kid. Him and Terrell Owens were my favorite players. So I always liked him. I always looked up to him.
What are you most looking forward to play in North Turner's offense? I know you said it's a big play offense, and you've heard a lot about North Turner. He's probably a future Hall of Fame coach in the National Football League. He's done a great job, especially on the offensive side of the ball. What are you most looking forward to playing in his offense? Because I'm sure you've seen some of what they're going to ask you to do here coming up in the season.
Just a vertical game. You know, being able to, you know, hopefully get back to some of the things I used to do in Pittsburgh. You know, just making some electric plays. You know, I know Coach is going to dial him up. I know he's going to design him. You know, hopefully we can just put him in work and go out there and execute
him. I got to think that's going to be there, too. I mean, with Jarius Wright out there, with a tight end, much the way you had in Pittsburgh with Heath Miller. I mean, we have Kyle Rudolph, and I think that's going to be good for you, too. Do you see good things coming with this group, chemistry-wise?
Oh, yeah. You know, as soon as I talk to those guys, they all were already working out, you know, so that's exciting. It's an encouraging group. But like I said, I haven't talked to pretty much anybody but Teddy. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about it, though. I meet those guys. You know, we're going to be in off-season workouts every day together. I get to know my new teammates, and they'll get to know me.
Mike Wallace, the newest member of the Minnesota Vikings, with this whole Adrian Peterson saga that's going on, any chance that you might want to reach out to him as one of the new offensive weapons in the Minnesota Vikings to say, hey, look, I mean, look what we're doing here on the offense. We'd love to have you back here.
Most definitely I would, but, you know, that's kind of a situation that you watch it from the outside, but I try not to get into other people's business, just try to mind my own business. I know that's a big, a touchy situation, so I don't really want to get involved. But, you know, just like everybody else, I'm hoping he comes back, and it'll be very exciting. I'll be, you know, the best running back I've ever played with. So, and, you know, probably the best running back anybody who's ever played with him.
I totally agree with you on that, Mike. I think that he's probably one of the finest of all time. If he's out there for another 4 or 5 years, who knows how far he can go in becoming the all-time rushing leader. Do you have any plans on maybe catching up with one of these smaller groups in the offseason to train and work out and get a few more passes with Bridgewater? Or do you have your own guy still in Miami or wherever you go back to train? Or what are your plans for the offseason?
Oh, you know, like I said, I'll be there in like 2 weeks. In like 2 weeks, I'll be back down there, and we'll be doing a lot of workouts during the off season. You know, I start trying to find me a place to live and getting it going. Right now, I work out in Houston. I work out every day with a big group of guys who play this football and some of my good friends.
New Minnesota Vikings wide receiver Mike Wallace, who the Vikings got in a trade from the Miami Dolphins here just a couple of weeks ago. The question that I'm sure you've been asked a billion times since being traded to the Minnesota Vikings, the weather. You said it was a little cold being traded. You know, when you ended up signing with the Miami Dolphins over the Minnesota Vikings, you said you wanted palm trees instead of trees with no leaves. Hey, I don't blame you. I've lived here my whole life. I don't blame you for wanting that. Can you tell our listeners describe really that's not a big deal, and then also kind of talk to me about this Pouncey. The Pouncey twin said that you were a coward about a week ago, and those guys are your friends, and so just and kind of tell our listeners the real truth about those two situations.
What's the first one?
Yeah.
Oh, about the palm trees.
The weather. Yeah, the palm trees.
Oh, man, that's not a big deal. You know, of course, when, you know, it's free agency, certain things are going to factor in. You know, a lot of people would love to play in Miami. So,
for sure.
You know, that was a decision that I made back then, you know, but everything always comes back around full circle, and everything happens that's supposed to happen. So, you know, I guess it was meant for me to be in Minnesota.
Yeah, and
I'm excited about it. It's not really a big deal. You know, I've played in the cold before. I'm not worried about that. Everybody's going to be out there cold. The people in the stands, you know, the people on the side, the trainers, the referees, everybody's going to be out there. So I'm not worried about that. That's not a big deal at all. It's going to be exciting. Once you're in a football game and it's live, you're having fun, you forget all about the weather.
Yeah, the superstar and I will be out there at TCF Bank Stadium, too, cheering you on. So we'll be just as cold. And then
with Parkas and mitts, well, large mitts. I won't be out there dressed like you are, Mike. I'm done doing that.
That's the difference. And then just the last thing about the Pouncey brothers, them calling you a coward last week and how you guys are friends. And so how did that come up? How did that come about? And where are you with the Pouncey brothers?
Me and those guys are good, man. I talked to those guys the same day that stuff happened. They told me that they were doing an interview. They were working out, and the guy asked them some questions, just general questions. Nothing about Mike, no questions about Mike. It was general questions about certain situations. And asked about a guy who quits on their team. And that's when they asked that question, that was the answer that Marquise had. And then when, it came back around, it made it seem like he's talking about me. But, it is what it is. Like I said, man, the media can do whatever they want. I'm not worried about that. I know those guys on a personal level. They know me on a personal level. That's guys who've been in my house. I've been to their house. I hang with those guys on my own time. So that's really my friends. That's why I'm not even worried about them.
That's a good way to put it, then. You cleared that up, and that's good enough for me, Mike. Number one, because I know you can blow the lid off the back of a defense, and number two is you've got the skills. You've got the hands as well. So welcome to the Minnesota Vikings. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to join us on our show, and please come back on with us, will you, please?
No doubt. Let's get used to it.
And score a million touchdowns this year for me, would you please?
Oh, my God, I score a million touchdowns. Oh, man, that would be crazy.
Light up the scoreboard. It's not going to be that cold out there, Mike. Just get that through your head. It's going to be fine. You got a new stadium to go into here in a couple of years, so it's all good.
And
it's
if you're running fast, you'll warm your body up. It's just how it works.
That's what they say.
That's what they tell you.
You got to outrun everybody.
It's been great talking to you, Mike. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
No problem at all. Appreciate it.
Mike Wallace, everybody, the newest Minnesota Viking wide receiver, speed merchant. He can indeed blow the lid right off of the defenses around the league. He is a fast, fast wide receiver. So you do have someone now that can stretch the field again. All the respect in the world shown for Randy Moss, and rightfully so. I mean, Randy was one of a kind.
From the locker room to your radio, tune in the Wake Up Call from the writers of Cold Omaha every Sunday morning at 8.
Wiggins would look great on a better team. We saw this because when this team was healthy for, three games, we noticed that Wiggins kind of fits in and that he's learning to assert himself. And that was the one big thing for him. And he's learned that he has to take over.
Forget the numbers, just eye test. Wiggins has been by far the best rookie. You might as well put a bow on it. Mail him the award now.
The Wake Up Call with Cold Omaha on Minnesota's Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket. Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Yeah, we're radioactive, all right.
We made it.
We're so radioactive, we melted down all of our stuff.
Here's the deal. Here's what I was doing. I was up at Target Field. I thought, the Twins are playing tonight. Obviously, the Timberwolves here tonight, the final game of the regular season. You know that big, the catcher's mitt or something like that up there by gate 34? I was taking a snooze in there. I had no idea we were supposed to do a show. What is this, Wednesday?
That's why I thought, and someone was, funny enough, we have someone already starting to interrupt the show. That's the guy that tried to run you over.
He didn't try. He did run me over.
He did run you over.
Remember when you ran me over?
Mark.
Remember?
Mark,
that?
You... Yeah. That's all right. Yeah, we'll talk with...
Right.
Okay.
That's all right.
There you go. I love doing live shows.
What did he say?
I don't know what he said. Listen, I was going to say I woke you... I came down to the big glove
That's
and woke
exactly
you up. That's what I was
going to
say. That's what I was going to say.
Because the Target Field... Twins game tonight. I wanted to go in and try some of the food that they're having. You and I are going to the noon game tomorrow.
We're
going to
fix that real good and proper tomorrow.
Tomorrow's going to be ridiculous. Oh. So I went in and I had some of the nachos. I love the nachos and the big Minnesota Twins helmet. And I just ended up taking a snooze.
My God.
It's beautiful outside.
It's really nice. And I saw you. You look like a sort of like a big lion laying down after a feed.
Yeah. I was licking my paws.
Yeah. You're like laying down, just taking a little snooze in the midday.
How lucky are we to have Target Field? Because remember, just a couple of years ago, it wasn't that long ago, where on a beautiful day like this, the beginning of the Major League Baseball season, we'd have to go indoors to the big Humpty Dump. Humpty Dump.
The big pillowcase. The pillowcase was no fun, but man, did they have an advantage in that place.
Oh, God, it
was awesome. Metrodome, I mean, the Twins knew how to play in that dome. And there were a lot of things you had to know and understand about that turf and the bounce that came off the turf. It was different than any other place that had the turf fields, yeah. And plus, of course, the ceiling, the dome, and trying to pick out the baseball once it got up in the air. I mean, but for whatever reason, the Twins had it figured out.
Mm-hmm. And then the big hefty bag, too, in right field.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss her. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'm sorry.
Well, have you said
today's just a day of so many goodbyes.
I know it. But, I mean, it's not like you can't come down here and say hi.
Oh, I can
feel
say
like
hi.
You feel like you can come down and just say hi. And
I'll say hi.
Ask her if she'd like to.
It'll be real good.
Join you for a beer.
A lot of stuff happened today before we got on the radio. Tyus Jones is deciding that he is going to forego any more college basketball, any more college, no more classes, no more stinking classes. He's going straight to the NBA, declared today. Congratulations to Tyus Jones. I mean, seriously, you and I have talked about this before. How much higher can his stock get? Granted, it could get higher, I would think, but you're the most outstanding player. You just won a championship with Duke. You were the reason they won the championship because your guy, Jahlil Okafor, God knows, didn't do much down
the
stretch there.
He's garbage.
But seriously.
Head to the dumpster with Okafor.
He could grow a little bit? You think he could grow a little bit?
Tyus Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like this little guy out in the middle of a basketball court full of, and he was the best man out there.
But
he was the best man out there.
Why not get paid to learn?
Oh, absolutely.
In the NBA.
He has nothing to prove. He was brilliant. He was, in fact, the best player in the 2015 men's tournament. So he's done his deal. Mm. Best man in the Final Four, the entire tournament. What else do you want to do? I mean, he took that game on his back and said, look, we're not getting this done. He took over in the third and fourth quarter and the second half. Why do I think like that still? And he just took over the game. I mean, he lit the place up for 19 of his 23 points in the second half. Tyus Jones can play.
What if you're Flip Saunders and you have Kevin Garnett, you have Andrew Wiggins, hopefully. Obviously, I'm pretty sure it's a foregone conclusion. They're one game right now below the New York Knicks. If they don't lose, or if they don't win tonight, the Timberwolves, that is, they will have the worst record in the NBA, the best shot at getting the number one overall selection, at least not falling farther than number four.
Yep.
You get your big guy, whether it be Okafor or the guy we call Cat from Kentucky, a guy that you and I have been a huge fan of. You more recently than I, but we won't have to bring that up necessarily.
No,
but
you win.
What would you do if you're Flip Saunders? Try and get Tyus Jones in here. Anything to make this Timberwolves team more exciting and be a backup for Ricky Rubio. Wouldn't that be great?
Backup? I mean, Ricky can't stay on the... I mean, Rick can't stay out there.
Well,
I mean, he can't stay out there. He's having ankle surgery now.
But it's just a scope. You and I know how bad scopes are. Scopes aren't that bad.
It's not. It isn't bad, but he redid that ankle again. And that was a pretty serious deal the first time around. I don't know. I think there might be more to that than what they're trying to tell us. Although I don't know if Tyus is going to go any higher than maybe he'll probably fall to 20, right? That's what they're saying about late in the first round.
Well, it depends, you know, because obviously we've been watching the NFL draft and what's coming up here in the, I want to say it's what, 2 weeks from tomorrow. You see players rise and fall on the draft board. I can't imagine Tyus Jones would fall any further. He's a game-changing a point guard. He's fantastic.
Really,
he's just small, though. That's the thing.
That's it.
And people are suggesting, where there'd be sources around the NBA, that he'll probably go mid to late teens.
Yeah. And I look, for Flip to bring him in here and let him play here, I mean, I think it'd be a great move, a PR move beyond belief. I mean, to bring him back here, and what an incredible thing it was to watch him come down the stretch in the tournament,
mm-hmm.
and knowing he's from here, and to get him with the Timberwolves, that would be pretty special.
He and KG already have a relationship. He said KG helped him make the decision. They obviously got together for the opening day of the Twins baseball season here, home opener.
Yeah.
On Monday, throwing out the first pitch. And so there's that relationship, and it would be great to bring Tyus Jones back home here. And I just think, what would you have to give up? We'll have to talk to Jerry Zagoda at some other point, but what would you have to give up to be a mid to late first round draft pick? Pekovic, you can have him.
Hey.
He's cost a lot of money, but you can have him. Anybody else, you can basically have him, because you and I were talking about this outside. Who are the only untouchables when it comes to the Minnesota Timberwolves rebuilding this team for next year. Andrew Wiggins, I would say.
Definitely.
I would say Kevin Garnett is probably untouchable.
Yeah, well, he's not going anywhere. I mean, he's coming back for what he was, you know, wanting to come back for halfway through the season with the Nets. I mean, he's not going anywhere. I mean, he has permanent plans and, I mean, big plans down the road that he needs to be here and retire here. So he's not going anywhere. Levine, I think, would be the kind of guy. Payne would be the type of guy.
No, I think they would move Payne. If they got a nice enough package, they would move Payne. They would move Levine. They would move Shabazz. They would move Ricky. They would move Peck.
There's something about Levine, and there's something about Payne with Wiggins. I think there's something really, really special about those three and keeping them around and finding someone to run the point. And that should be Rubio. There's no question. But that high wire act with those three guys. And there's some serious defense and some serious muscle with Payne. I really like what he's all about.
Hey.
And I think that Payne is the real deal from Atlanta that we picked up from Atlanta.
Absolutely.
From Michigan State. I like him. I really do. With Garnett. Jeez. Not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, not bad. Not that he's not untouchable. I suppose there's always a price to move a player. Mm. But I think he's a good start on a nucleus that we could really build with.
Absolutely. We have about a minute to go here in this break before we have to take a little bit of a break here. But if the Minnesota Timberwolves have the chance to draft Jahlil Okafor or Cat, who we call the center number 13, I believe. Is he 13 or 12? Whatever number he is.
I think he's 13.
He's amazing. Love him to death. He's amazing. If the Timberwolves can draft one of those two guys, we don't need Peck, Jang, and the new guy.
I like Jang, too.
I do, too. So somehow they got to get rid of Peck. Somebody will take Peck, won't they?
They probably would. There's something about Peck still that would bring value. No, I guess either of those two big guys that we've talked about. I mean, that would be... That'd be pretty good, I guess, knowing what the upside could be for Okafor. And certainly we have a great athlete with your guy, my guy. I would prefer him.
It's funny how we work together like that. I love you to death. Love you like a brother, almost like a stepdad, kind of.
That's true.
My dad is fantastic, and I wouldn't take anything away from him because he's like my best friend.
Yeah, you're 32?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would say maybe an older cousin or something like that, but somebody that I love to death. But you turn me on to Trey Waynes. I'm turning you on to my guy, Kat.
Yeah, it works.
It's just what we do here in the afternoon.
It's a true story. I mean, your guy, I wish I could have seen those two paired up in that last game.
Oh, me too. That would have been fun.
That would have been good. That would have been really good. We already know what my guy did against Wisconsin. I think your guy wins that one hands down. Let's take a little break. Come on back. It's Radioactive Sports. We've got Jim Lundin. And by the way, it's brought to you by our good sponsors, as it has been this whole time that we've been down here at Hubert's for the Wolves Wednesday extravaganza. Killebrew Root Beer, of course, and North Lakes Honey Brown Lager, both on sale, both on tap at Hubert's. Come on down. Join Radioactive Sports, and we have we're going to have Jim Lundin on with us next. Okay, let's do this
thing. Supposedly, he has a surprise for
us.
What? Yeah.
Money?
Jim?
Money? Where's Jim?
Where's Jim? I don't know, but I'll be
there. There he is,
cash.
Right there. Well,
Jim has a surprise for us, and he already brought us beer and root beer. So
nice.
Yeah.
Come on back, everybody. Radioactive Sports.
Here's Sports Radio 105, The Ticket on iHeartRadio.
Guest on, and he's got a fan club.
I know it. They come swinging around the corner. They don't do that for us. And then Gal swings around with a camera to take a picture of Jim Lundin, who joins us now, but she has a Killebrew hoodie on.
Oh, yeah.
A camera.
Maybe he knows her, or he gave her some free goodies, which he's done to us. And so hence why I should be taking pictures of him right now. I'm drinking North Lake Sunny Brown Lager, and it is scrumdiddlyumptious.
Come on down here. Join us. I mean, why wouldn't you? Come on down. Do a North Lakes Honey Brown Lager with Ben, if there's any left after Ben consumes most of it. And then you could also join me for a Killebrew Old Fashioned Root Beer. Why not? Come on down. They're both here on sale on tap at Hubert's. And it's our last Wolves Wednesday appearance here at Hubert's. Jim Lundin has been good to join us for most of those. And Jim, this is it. It's all over. It started September 23rd, you told me, and yes. We find ourselves today, April 15th, tax day. Here we are.
It's just mind-boggling where the time goes. It's September 23rd, first Wolves Wednesday. They were undefeated. Everyone had high hopes, and there's always next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always next year.
There's always next year.
So,
well,
and similar to the 23rd, after the Wolves Wednesday event here at Hubert's, and haven't they been great to work with this whole winter?
People. Fantastic. Good people.
I wander over to watch a Twins game, and I'm hoping to heck I see a winner for the first time this year.
Well, Edinson Volquez tonight. You're going tonight?
I am.
Edinson Volquez is 1-0. 114, 113 ERA, by the way. Cal Gibson starting for our Minnesota Twins. 0-1, 14-something ERA.
He's so due. You're saying
He's
we
due.
Got a chance.
Yeah. I don't know.
We got him right where we want him.
Exactly. We're going to line these guys up and send them home crying. Well, wait, they have to play tomorrow. The nooner that you and I are going to. Oh, man.
Oh, well.
But the time goes by so quickly, guys, and I know how hard you guys work, and you're as Mike
well,
and I were saying,
not,
in,
let's
the,
not get over,
in,
go overboard
in the,
here.
In the break that, you know, you're doing a lot of road shows and getting the name out there and getting in the station out there, and it's a tremendous amount of popularity that's being built with the Ticket 105. And
thank you.
Radioactive. Outstanding, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate that.
So,
I appreciate it.
It's a lot of fun.
I don't have anything free to give you. You're the one that's giving me free goodies.
I don't want anything. I get to hang out with you guys.
I appreciate it. You're
and
fantastic.
By the way, I think you're right mostly when you say that we work hard. You mean I work hard.
What?
And
No.
Ben is a hindrance. I carry him.
Oh, my God. No, it's true.
I don't know what I'd do without Ben Holson.
It's true. I'm the monkey on the superstar's back, and I am riding those coattails till the stars come home.
Well, it's been fun down here regardless.
It's been a good time. And because of that, I wanted to turn the tables on you guys a little bit. And
oh, boy.
You've got a ton of loyal listeners out there that know you as having worked with a number of local stations and being part of the media part radio in the Twin Cities and Mike of course with the Vikings and being on television and radio but do they know much about you guys?
I don't know.
So I was gonna
I'm afraid
turn the
of what you
on.
Might ask.
Are you ready?
I'm ready to go.
Yes.
I mean I'm ready to do this thing.
I don't know much, but I know this. You guys are
But you know you love us?
Yeah, I do.
That's
love
a song,
you.
Right?
I do love you. Neither of you guys are native Minnesotans.
Correct.
I was born here.
You were born here?
I was born in Mankato.
Really?
Yeah.
Herbert.
Yeah. It's all right. I can go to the local courthouse and get my birth certificate.
So I get to wrestle Pat to the floor when he comes back because he told me Sioux Falls.
Well, I grew up in Sioux Falls. I was born here in Mankato. Spent 2 or 3 years here before my parents moved to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Which
I see.
Is barely over the border line. So I never really claim myself as a South Dakotan because they're, I mean, let's just face it, you know, what's going on in South Dakota.
It ain't all bad.
Well, it's not all bad, but it's not all great.
Well, fun.
But as soon as I could, I came back, obviously.
So native Minnesotan in
Iowa.
Iowa. Where in Iowa, Michael?
Way down south, Centerville, Iowa, about 10 miles north of the Missouri state line.
Really?
Yeah, and about 75 miles straight south of Des Moines. I was way down there, way on down there.
You know what we say about Iwegians, Jim? Because I did grow up in the southwestern corner of Minnesota, the southeastern corner of South Dakota. We call Iwegians. We call them idiots out wandering around.
Yeah.
Because all those small-town farmers, they would come to our city. I mean, Sioux Falls is about 150,000, 175,000 people, and they have the mall there. Oh, God, the mall. You would think that the biggest attraction in South Dakota would be Mount Rushmore. Nope. It's the mall in Sioux Falls. And doggone it, if every single weekend it isn't packed with southwestern Minnesotans, or more importantly, those damn Iwegians.
Iwegians, yeah, there's pills for that.
Yeah. Honestly, we could whip your ass
almost
anytime we wanted
skies.
To. We'd whip all your asses.
And what?
I would take you guys on and just whoop some ass.
I don't know.
All I want to say. What am I talking about? Civil War here? What am I doing? Where'd that go?
So you went to the U.
I did, yes.
Yep.
University, Minnesota, yep.
And Michael,
I went to Northeast Missouri State University. Now Truman State. But
okay.
What I went through was Northeast Missouri.
And it's also called the Harvard of the Midwest.
It's actually the Harvard of the Midwest. And Harvard itself is actually the Northeast Missouri State of the Northeast.
Yeah.
And because of that, both you have a work ethic that's unparalleled by about 9 out of 10 people on the
That's true.